Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday, in our study of 2 Timothy chapter 4, we were taught that a pastor needs to be especially diligent to stand and endure affliction. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
But if you go against the Word of God because you can't stand it any longer, that simply means you tried to stand in your own power, not the Lord. Kind of breaks our heart to know that too many preachers today are merely hirelings. Hirelings. And they flee when the wolf comes. The wolf of the contemporary, the wolf of the emerging church, the wolf of ecumenicalism, the wolf of worldliness and fleshliness. Oh, my friend, having done all to stand, stand therefore. Oh, I hope that you will stand. Many times, the affliction will be false accusation. It'll be betrayal by people you've loved and you've helped. When I first started in ministry, an old pastor who became a great blessing to me and often would turn to him for advice as a young pastor, new pastor just starting out, he told me, he says, the people that will hurt you the most are the people that you've helped the most. He just said, count on it. And you know what? As a young pastor, I just thought, oh, he's blowing steam. But now I found out that's not steam. He is telling me the truth. And so false accusations, betrayal, or maybe people, they just leave your ministry. And it causes Satan to have a foothold to produce worry in your heart. The command is an imperative command, meaning it is a strong military command to the pastor. Endure hardness. And that is from God, who will call the pastor, the preacher, into an account. And he has given this command because God knows the day comes in which the preacher may fear to preach the whole counsel of God or meet a sin and problem head on, because it may displease a board member or somebody who is a good giver, or it may cause you to lose people, or it'll offend some popular leader in the church or a friend. Oh, but your greatest friend must be the Lord, and His word must be foremost in your life. The preacher is to maintain it. He is to preach. He is to flinch not, wince not, shrink not. Rather, he is to believe the truth, not to barter the truth. And he is to stand without compromise. Again, notice at the beginning of this chapter what the preacher is told in verse 2. And it's an imperative military command. And it's simply this: preach the word. We read in number 16 about Moses. And it'd do you good to read that story sometime. Korah and 250 men of renown in the congregation, turning those hundreds of thousands of people against Moses. They're leaders that stand up against Moses, God's anointed man. and they try to turn things against them, and what happens? Well, Moses certainly has hardly anybody standing with him. So God just intervenes, and the earth opens up and swallows those people, all of Korah's family. Then 250 men of renown that see it are suddenly struck with fire from heaven, and they are consumed. And a plague hits the people the next day. In all, over 15,000 die. But this is what I find amazing. The day after the earth had opened, the people murmured against Moses, even though it was evident that it was the power of God that had caused this to come on for their rebellion. And yet that will not stop some people. Moses is an example to all of us, especially preachers, to endure hardness, to endure afflictions. Now, when all these people rose up against Moses, he didn't waste his time trying to figure out a way. Now, how am I going to convince the rest of the congregation that Korah and his people are wrong? And how am I going to get the people behind me? And how am I going to get this thing taken care of? No. He just went to God. All Moses had to do is stay true to the word of God and not let the pressure of Korah and all those people change him, to change the word, to water it down, or anything. And then God intervened miraculously. And how those people could see the earth open and swallow those people up and fire come down from heaven and consume those 250 men and still murmur against Moses when the fear should have been, whoa, we were almost taken in with that, and we would have had God pouring that out on us. Oh, the spiritual blindness of people that get caught up in the flesh. Now, a third thing that we find out, besides enduring afflictions and watching, the pastor is commanded to do the work of an evangelist. In short, he is to witness the gospel to the lost. We are to show people how they can be saved. And it's still, just like it was said in 1 Corinthians, in the New Testament, in the New Testament church's era of birth, that first century, they are told, very clearly so, that it was by the foolishness of preaching. Now, let me just insert something here. It wasn't foolish preaching. It was the foolishness of preaching. So here, doing the work of an evangelist is speaking of both the pulpit and personal witness. This is not an option. It is not just a gift. It's a command for all believers. I've had people say, Pastor, witnessing is not my gift. You know what? It's not mine either. I don't know too many men that it is. Witnessing's not a gift. It's a command of something for us to do. You're on the battlefield. And the command is given to fire. There are some people out there that are marksmen. They're going to hit just the exact part of the body they're going to hit. Other people are going to miss the target completely. But the command is to fire. And that's what you do. You witness the gospel. You try to do it the best you can, and you ask God's Holy Spirit to use it to convict, because it's the seed of God's word that makes the difference. And so we need to understand that. We need to learn that and do as God said to do. So the pastor is to be first partaker of the fruit, 1 Corinthians tells us in chapter 9. But the command, then, is the pastor is a witness. He's to do it from the pulpit. He He is to do it personally in speaking to people's souls. But let us consider these following two passages. First of all, Philippians 3:10. There, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, the apostle writes, that I may know him. Know him? I mean, the apostle Paul says that I may know him after he's been stoned and left for dead, three times beaten with rods, five times receiving 39 stripes from the Roman whip, being in the deep a night and a day, been in perils of robbers and thieves, all that he suffered, being in prisons and chains, all that for the name of Christ, and he says that I may know him. You see, there's such a greater intimacy that one can have with God. And as much as knowledge as the apostle had, he knew that there was an ocean full, a world full of more knowledge of God, that he would not even attain all of it in this life. He says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. You see, and the power of his resurrection means that we die to the flesh and we're risen to walk in newness of life. And we say, nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And in the fellowship, the partnership of his sufferings, following his Holy Spirit and his lead, we'll find that the afflictions will come, being made conformable unto his death, being somebody who for the righteous good cause of the Word of God and its holiness have the hatred of man. They want to stop your ministry because it's God's ministry. Most of the times it's religious people trying it. But my friend, you stay true. That's when you're more like Jesus. Pastor, I point the finger at me as well as yourself and say, yes, we must be an example to the flock. Do the work of an evangelist. We must watch for what tries to get in, sin and false doctrine, and we must endure the afflictions as a result. The next passage is 2 Corinthians 5:10-11. For we must all, all who are saved, appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Pastor, do the work of an evangelist. Now, an example that I want to point out is the example of Lot.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast. 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org. With no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying, may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.